This is Around Your Kansas Home on AM 580 WIBW and FM 104.9. Online, we're streaming on the TuneIn Radio app and at WIBWNewsNow.com. Podcast available at the AroundYourKansasHome.com website. Around Your Kansas Home, providing you information and tips to keep everything around your Kansas home looking great. Now here's your host, Charlie Campbell.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Around Your Kansas Home. I am Charlie Campbell. Join us on Facebook. Do a search for Around Your Kansas Home. Hopefully, you spent some time last weekend procuring those project ideas and starting on the planning phase because, you know, planning is the absolute most important part of any project. And we've had quite a few emails over the last 2 weeks talking about building an outdoor recreational area, better known as a deck. Any deck is a very popular home improvement that does a lot more than just add to the value of your home. It also provides kind of a focal point for enjoying the outdoors. You'll want to carefully consider the design elements that go into your deck. It really needs to include the features that match your lifestyle, but also complement the design of your home. The big key to successful remodeling is making it look like that's how the home was built. Making everything look like it was built at the same time and well and properly maintained is a key. There are three main considerations when you're planning a deck, and I've gotten several emails that said, you know, run through those again. I want to think more about building a deck. So how you plan to use your deck is the first and probably the most important consideration in the design, how you're going to use it. You're going to entertain frequently, and if so, how large of a group will you need the space for? What kind of seating are you going to need? Would you or your guests be more comfortable on a built-in bench or patio furniture? Do you want the space arranged to accommodate conversations like between small groups or maybe one big, large, common area? Are you going to need adequate lighting to entertain at night? Or are all of your entertainment times going to be during the day? And electricity may not be as important, at least for lighting. But how about power for things like the barbecue grill? If you need a power outlet for that, or power outlet for some other type of appliance that may or may not be mounted outdoors. The location of the deck is a very important consideration. Chances are the size, the orientation of your property and your house are going to limit you to one or two deck designs. But within those limits, you can have a lot more choices than you may think. You may be able to add a door, build a walkway, or incorporate like a privacy screen or something that will allow you to locate your deck so it's most convenient for your intended usage. So usage is the first thing we have to determine. Exactly what are we planning to use it for? The different views that you will see are a major factor to consider when deciding where to place the deck and where to put the seating benches. A north side deck will probably be the coolest location. Southern or western orientations may be too warm in the middle of summer unless you include some type of an overhead screen or build the deck around like an existing shade tree. You might be able to avoid prevailing winds by locating it where the house will provide some protection. Likewise, careful placement can really minimize traffic noise, can eliminate unwanted views, or provide additional privacy, depending upon how you place it. If you want to include a hot tub or a swimming pool into your plans, privacy considerations for you and for your guests may become very, very important at this point. Legal considerations are another topic to consider. Before you decide on a location, you really need to check local zoning ordinances. In your area, that may limit the overall size of your deck, the height of any privacy screens, and the minimum distance from your deck to your lot lines. Neighborhood or subdivision covenants may also restrict the appearance of the structure, and you'll have to get approval, usually for your design, not only to get the building permit in most municipalities to build it, but if you're in a neighborhood that has specific restrictions or covenants you may have to submit those plans to them as well. You also want to check with the local building department and find out whether you'll be required to have that permit that we talked about. And most of the time, you are. But again, it depends on the municipality that you live in. They can tell you the types of plans that they will require that you submit. And as always, with any project where you are digging outside, and if you're going to build a deck, you're going to be digging pier footings. And when you dig those or anything else, you need to call 1-800-DIG-SAFE. And that is a state law. You want to call that and tell them you're planning to construct a deck, and you will need to give them 2 full business days from the time you call to allow the utility company's time to come out and locate the utilities that may or may not be in the area of your project. If you call them on a Monday, doesn't matter what time of day, Tuesday and Wednesday are the 2 business days. So if you call on a Monday, you cannot start a digging project until Thursday. So you can't call them on Saturday morning and dig Saturday afternoon. You need that 2 full business days. So the proper planning is a major, major importance. You can build any size deck that you want as long as you follow the legal limits. But even within those limits, a deck can either be too big or too small. The most important consideration, aside from cost, is use, but a huge deck can really look out of place next to a tiny house, just as if a tiny deck will look wrong with a big house. If you think your dream deck is too large for your home, break up the expanse by building smaller sections or multiple level decks. That's a very popular idea when you have a small house and you're wanting to make a large deck. You can do that at a couple of different levels and really break it up and make that look phenomenal. To test your ideas, measure the size you want on your lawn. You can take 4-foot stakes at approximate corners and tie a string between them about the height of the railings. Set your lawn furniture in that area and get an idea of how that space will work. The most common mistake people make is building a deck that's too small. The difference in cost between a deck that's a little too small and one that's the right size usually isn't much. Another tip that's very important when you're designing these, and I had 2 emails asking about sizing and how to, what increments to build them. You want to design your deck in either 2-foot or 4-foot increments. You'll have to buy standard lumber lengths anyway, and there's no point in wasting that material when you could have a larger deck for the same amount of money. Good example of that is an 11-foot deck. You're going to have to buy 12-foot lumber. So why not make the deck 12-foot or 16-foot? So those are some things to consider, is the dimensional lumber sizing, how to run that stuff. So shaping and decking patterns is going to be another topic that we need to get into. You can really build them just about any shape, but simple changes like an angled corner on a 45-degree decking pattern could really dress up a house with a long, plain wall. Of course, if it's a more complicated deck, it's more difficult to build it and may require more materials, thus increasing the cost. So you can also add visual interest by maybe wrapping the deck around a corner, adding built-in benches, integrating a fence or screen on one side, or even adding an overhead screen. Usually, the decking should come within 2 inches of the bottom of the access door to the house, with steps heading from the deck to the ground. More on how to get started with your deck right here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Introducing the new M18 Jobsite Radio from Milwaukee. This high-performance audio system features dual 3-inch speakers that deliver loud, clear sound with deep, accurate bass. A customizable EQ allows you to adjust settings to your preferred levels. The M18 Jobsite Radio features a stackable design delivering maximum versatility. Metal speaker grills protect from drops, water, and debris. Integrated handles provide an easy way to transport and store the M18 Jobsite Radio. Featuring a digital AM-FM processor, the M18 Jobsite Radio provides the highest reception accuracy and signal quality, delivering loud, clear sound in a durable, compact package. the M18 Job Site Radio from Milwaukee.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
We are back on Around Your Kansas Home. I am Charlie Campbell. We were talking about the shape and the decking patterns that you may use on that new deck. You can really build a deck out of just about any shape, but simple changes like angling a corner or changing the decking pattern can really dress it up. We just talked about that before commercial, and I've had two questions on email about the height. Usually the decking needs to come within 2 inches of the bottom of the access door from the house and then have steps leading to the ground. On sloped ground, you might want to build your deck in multiple levels to follow the slope. Typically, wherever the deck is more than 48 inches off the ground, codes require that the posts be braced to prevent swaying and shearing or too much movement, basically. Wind bracing. If you're going to do any cutouts in the deck for maybe a spa or a hot tub, those can be set on the deck if the structure is reinforced to carry the weight of the water, or it can be directly set on like a concrete slab with the deck built around it. Existing trees and rocks can also be integrated into a deck by framing around them, then either capping the ends of the decking or contouring the decking to the shape of the obstacle. If you work around a tree, leave at least 3 inches on all sides to allow for growth. Obviously, if it's a brand new tree and it's a couple inches in diameter, it's probably a good idea to find out how big that tree is going to get and header out as big as the tree is going to get and then add boards to bring it in that are removable. If you use these decking screws, you can remove boards. Every 2 years, you could remove a board as that tree starts to grow and get closer to that decking. So there's definitely a way to do it. You just want to make sure that you're aware of how big the thing's going to get so that you're not in a pickle later trying to figure out how to reframe the deck or resupport it in that area. Around a stationary object, such as maybe a boulder, just leave about a quarter of an inch so the decking can expand and contract with temperature and moisture changes. Don't leave that same space between the decking boards. You can go ahead and put those pretty tight together. Railings are the most prominent visual element in a deck and really offers a great opportunity for you to use your imagination and your creativity. They might be fastened to posts that run all the way to the ground, along the sides of the rim joists, or attached to the decking itself. They might include wood, metal, or sometimes even rope, nearly anything that satisfies structural requirements. Again, going back to the personality and style that you plan to incorporate within it, and again, matching the design of your home. Your railing design may be limited primarily by building code regulations that are designed to ensure safety. Typically, those codes say that support posts may be no more than 6 foot apart, and that the railing may have no spaces larger than 4 inches by 4 inches. The durability of your railing will also be affected by the design. For example, the end of your railing posts really should be covered or cut at an angle to shed the water to minimize cracking and splitting on that exposed top surface. Steps and stairs, those constructed is very closely regulated by building codes, and if you're in a county that doesn't have specific building requirement, still a good idea to find out what maybe the uniform building code is and build those stairs according to that code. A rickety staircase will ruin the value. In fact, it completely actually becomes a negative because now it's something that has to be fixed. If it wasn't there, it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a benefit. If it's there and it's built wrong, it's a problem and a detriment. So you want to make sure that the stairs are designed properly. As a rule, steps and stairs need to be at least 36 inches wide. 60 inches wide if you want two people to be able to pass each other comfortably. The rise, which is the vertical distance between the steps, should be no more than 7.5 inches, and the width of the tread at least 10 inches. So you'd use a 2x12. The slope should not be too steep. A 7-inch riser with a 10.5-inch tread is a common combination. Building codes will also govern how the stair is supported and attached and whether or not that stair needs a railing. The structural components to your deck. There are 5 basic components of a typical deck. You have vertical posts that are set in concrete or on piers setting on a concrete footing, and those are typically spaced 4 foot to 8 foot apart. Horizontal joists are set on the posts parallel to the decking to carry the weight of the deck and whatever's going to be on the deck. Those joists run between the beams, typically 16 to 24 inches on center, and they distribute the weight of the deck and allow you to use decking boards that would be strong enough to span the distance between the support beams or joists. Decking is then laid over those joists to form the floor of the deck. Railings are usually 36 to 42 inches high, designed so no spaces between the balusters are greater than 4 inches. The materials used, the size, the spacing of these components are specified by your local building code, and your local building official ought to be able to get you the proper information. All you have to do is ask. If you're unable to find that information and you would like it, send me an email, charlie@aroundyourkansashome.com. Let me know where you're located here in Kansas and what you're trying to build, and I'll be more than happy to get that information to you at no cost. The deck materials that you plan to use must not only be resistant to decay and insect damage, but also to withstand the effects of water and sun. Standard construction lumber, such as fir, pine, or spruce, may be treated to protect it from rot, but it won't hold up under extreme weather conditions or the UV rays of sunlight. You'll get much better durability by using pressure-treated pine, redwood, or cedar. Pressure-treated material is the least expensive and can be stained to nearly any color you want. Redwood and cedar offer an added advantage in that they are soft, fine-grained woods that will resist splintering. If you use redwood or cedar, remember that only the heartwood, the reddish-colored portion of the redwood, or the dark brownish-orange part of a cedar board, is decay-resistant. The lighter-colored sapwood will deteriorate just as quickly as pine or spruce. Once you have a rough idea of what you want, draw a couple sketches, one of your lot, showing the deck as part of your landscaping plan, and one of your design. Use graph paper, making each square equal to a given dimension. Maybe each square could equal 1 foot on your lot plan or 3 inches on your design. To get all the components roughly to scale, take all of those sketches to your lumber yard and ask someone to help you put together the price of all the materials you'll need. And those people see so many plans that they probably would be able to give you some advice if they see something that's, you know, a little bit off or something that they might question. So it's always a good idea to draw this thing out. We talked about this last Saturday when it was snowing, and it's just a phenomenal idea to be very well prepared. They say measure twice and cut once. It saves cost, and it really allows you to think this thing through, including what you plan to do with your deck, how you plan to entertain, and what you want the final project to look like. If you're planning a multi-level deck, that's going to be kind of a structural chore for a very novice do-it-yourselfer. So it's crucial that you get all of the planning out of the way ahead of time. And when you go to meet with your lumber supplier, the lumber yard, those people are very good typically at looking at your plan, and you have your lot drawn, kind of have your house drawn to scale. And then your deck, they may see something you're not seeing, may be able to give you some ideas. Make sure that your plans also include kind of an elevation so that they know what happens with the grade outside your home. Does it fall away from the home? Does the Does one part of the grade tend to go up and it swale the other direction, or is it just completely flat? And before you take these drawings in, it's also a good idea. It seems like everybody has a digital camera now. Most cell phones take pictures. Snap a few pictures of the area where you're hoping to build the deck. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. It's amazing how helpful that can be. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Why is Made in Kansas important? UDOT was founded in Kansas in 1958, selling Kansas-made products. Made in Kansas means keeping our dollars here, keeping Kansans working. Blue Dot is committed to keeping the Kansas economy vibrant. Luxair products are Kansas strong and Kansas proud, just like Blue Dot. Blue Dot and Luxair, two names you have trusted since 1958. Thank you.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
Thanks for staying tuned here on Around Your Kansas Home. I am Charlie Campbell. Your questions are always welcome. You can join us on Facebook and send us a message there. Continuing the decking project, we need to start talking about the main support in the ground, and that's concrete. So we're going to run through some basic tips and instructions on working with concrete. It's really important that you do this step correctly. It can save you time. It can save you effort. And end up with a neater, more satisfactory installation with far less waste. What we're going to talk about is basically the concrete for building a deck. Sand mix concrete is typically delivered to a job site in revolving barrel trucks. And this is the simplest and easiest way to buy concrete for very large projects. However, you're going to pay for the delivery and for the convenience of pre-mixing, and you need to check local sources for availability and price on that delivered concrete. If you're going to mix it yourself, there's four basic elements in concrete: Portland cement, a fine aggregate like sand, a coarse aggregate like crushed rock or gravel, and water. The aggregates, the sand and gravel, usually make up from 2/3 to 3/4 of the volume of any finished concrete. All aggregates should be clean and free of organic matter. The water used for mixing concrete needs to be clean and free of acids, alkalis, oils, and sulfates. Although the ingredients in concrete are always the same, the finished result depends on the proper mix of the four elements. The proper mix of the ingredients is determined by the intended use of the concrete. If you were pouring foundations or retaining walls, you'll want to use about 6.25 gallons of water for each sack of cement if the sand is damp. However, if the sand is wet, 5.5 gallons of water will easily do the job. Concrete that's mixed for pouring sidewalks, stepping stones, slabs, etc., requires about 5.75 gallons of water per sack of cement if the sand is damp, and about 5 gallons if the sand is wet. If you're pouring heavy footings for walls where waterproofing is not a factor, mix the concrete with 1 part cement, 3 part sand, and 4 parts gravel. Hope you're writing all this down. There's going to be a test at the end of the program. I'm just kidding. If you're pouring sidewalks, steps, driveways, use 1 part Portland, 2 part sand, and 3 parts gravel. For small projects, you can measure the ingredients using an ordinary, like a galvanized or a plastic 5-gallon pail. A wooden box measuring 12 by 12 by 12 can give you an accurate measurement for 1 cubic foot of sand or concrete. Nail 3/4 inch half round to one side of the box at the carefully measured points, and this will allow you to measure 1/4, 1/2, and 3/4 of a cubic foot. Always follow mixing instructions on the bag when mixing your concrete. Next thing we need to do is to estimate the materials that we're going to need for the deck, and most likely you're going to get all of that from your supplier at the lumber yard, so we probably don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. So if you have questions on that I have not covered in this section about concrete, I know a guy I'd like to bring on the program. I just need to have some incentive to bring him because someone wants to have some answers. But his name is Ben, and I'm going to see if I can talk him into coming on the program and visiting with us about more detail on concrete. So we have a lot more to cover. We're going to get into actually how to construct that deck. So let's get started and talk about preparing for the layout. Now, we've talked about different types of lumbers, and if you choose the pressure-treated lumber, you'll have a choice between 5/4 by 6 decking or 2-inch thick material, typically 2x4s, 2x8s, all of them 1.5 inches in thickness. The size and species of the decking that you choose is going to determine the spacing between your joist. Recommended spacing for common decking boards are as follows. If you use the 5/4 by 6, like the Southern Pine, a maximum joist spacing of 16 inches on center. If you're using redwood, western red cedar, SPF, which stands for spruce pine fir, hem fir, northern white cedar, a maximum joist spacing of 24 inches, but it's still preferred to see those joists at 16 inch on center. That's really the most common spacing. It gives you the most stability. But if you go in with the 2-inch southern pine, you can do 24 inch on center. Although, you know, when you're sitting in a lawn chair on a deck with 24 inch centers and a bunch of kids run across the deck during an outdoor activity, you feel the vibration of that deck a whole lot less if you have it a little more stable and have it on 16-inch centers. 2x6s through 2x10s are the most common sizes used for joists, which are the beams that carry the weight to support the decking material. Now, the supports are usually 4x6 through 4x10, often built up from doubled 2-inch lumber. So your rim joist, your rim band, is usually a doubled-up board. Pressure-treated lumber is generally less expensive than redwood or cedar, which we talked about. That can be used for the substructure, even when the decking and railing are of other types. In most cases, you want to determine the spacing between the beams first, then use a joist size appropriate to that spacing. So if you're spacing your beams, I'm sorry, if you're spanning your beams up to 8 feet, 2x6 or 2x8s on 16-inch center. 8 to 10 feet, 2x8s. 10 to 12 feet, 2x10s. And you really don't want to go farther than that without support. Determining your beam size, that can all be done at the lumber yard. They'll have span tables for the different size lumber. So you want to get started by preparing the ground under the deck. Remove the sod. Slope the ground away from the house a minimum of 1 inch every 15 feet. That should provide adequate drainage for the water away from your house. Should already be that way. We talked about that last week as well. It's a good idea to check the foundation line all the way around your house and make sure that you have good slope away from your foundation, because you don't want that water coming back and adding extra hydraulic pressure to your home. We're going to continue putting this deck together as soon as we return. Stay with us right here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Are you considering a renovation or construction project in the Topeka area and looking for an easier way to complete your project? Locally owned Topeka Wind Supply is here and ready to help you select the right products. Then we supply area professionals the products you picked out on time. From a small renovation to a large commercial construction project, the Topeka Wind Supply team is ready to help you invest wisely in products that will last but don't break the bank. Doing a project yourself often results in wishing that you hadn't. As members of the Topeka Area Building Association, we supply the most professional contractors in the area that are ready to partner with you to complete your project on time and on budget. Imagine the taste of your dinner from an entire new kitchen or unwinding in a new custom bathroom. Let's leave doing it yourself to picking out colors and styles. Tell your contractor you want to pick things out at Topeka Wind Supply or just come see us. We have lots of referrals for you. Topeka Wind Supply, 3721 Southwest South Park Avenue, TopekaWindSupply.com.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
Thanks for staying tuned and making Around Your Kansas Home your source for local renovation, repair, and construction tips and information. Visit our website, www.aroundyourkansashome.com. It's amazing how fast time goes. We've tried to build this deck during this episode. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit to get through this. So if I lose you, if you want more information on building a deck, charlie@aroundyourkansashome.com. And then your emailed questions have not been forgotten. There's several more. But answering this one has taken a little more time than I anticipated. But I want to make sure, as with every question, that we get you the most detailed answer possible. So keep the emails coming in. And as promised, I'm going to give you the mailing address here for our show. So you can feel free to send us mail the old-fashioned way if you don't want to send us an email. So stay tuned for that address. The next thing to do once you are putting this together is to measure and mark the position for your ledger along the wall. The height of the ledger needs to be 1 inch below the door plus the thickness of the decking, plus the depth of the joist if you plan to set the joist on a joist hanger or on a ledger and a beam. It really makes no difference which way you set the joist as long as your layout is consistent. Mount a 2x6 ledger to the wall with half-inch lag screws. That ledger needs to be level, and the lag screws should be long enough to penetrate the studs at least 3 inches. Use 2 lag screws at each end and 1 at each wall stud, typically 16 inches on center. To establish the outside perimeter of the deck, measure out from each end of the ledger about 18 inches beyond the outside edge of the deck and set up batter boards, and then run taut strings from each end of the ledger to the batter boards and establish the sides of the deck. Then run a third string between those boards to establish the outside edge of the deck. Square the layout by measuring the opposite diagonals, then adjusting the ledger to batter board strings until both measurements are equal. Be careful to maintain the correct distance between the strings. Next, we want to start building the substructure. Use a plumb bob from the string to establish the location of the footings. The holes for the footings need to be deeper than the maximum frost penetration. So 36 to 42 inches is pretty much standard across Kansas. It's a good idea to dig 6 inches deeper and then fill the bottom of the hole with gravel. That will allow for some drainage. Mix concrete, pour your footings to find the number of 90-pound bags of ready-mixed concrete that you will need for each 12x12 footing. Measure the depth of the footing in inches and then divide by 8. As you finish each pour, set a precast pier on the footing so it extends about 6 inches above the ground level. Then use a thin cement mix to bond the piers to the footings. After the concrete has set, stand the posts on the piers. Use temporary braces and a level to plumb the posts. Once the posts are set, run a mason's line from the top of the ledger to each post, and then use a line level to mark it for cutting. The height of the post needs to be equal to the height of the ledger minus the depth of the beam. I hope you caught that, but if you've built a deck before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fasten post-to-beam connectors on the top of the post with nails. Plumb and square the assembly, and secure the beams as you did the posts. If local building codes where you live require it, install the 2x6 diagonal cross braces and secure them with something like, I don't know, 1/2 inch by 4.5 inch lag screws. Now you want to mark the joist locations on both of the beams in the ledger, typically on 16-inch centers. Set the joist in place with the crowns up. You need to make sure you always crown the lumber. If the deck is wide enough that you'll need 2 sets of joists, and if you set them over beams rather than hanging them from joist hangers, Splice the connections by overlapping each pair of joists at least 1 foot and nailing them together with 8D galvanized nails. Install blocking between the joists wherever it's required. Blocking requirements are really determined by the building codes. It's always a good idea to add some of that blocking. It helps these vertically installed joists not bow or twist so much. By having some bridging in there, that helps to maintain their rigidity. Build any stairs that you're going to need next. And there's a ton of explanation that goes into building a set of stairs I don't know that I could cover on today's program. But if you log on to aroundyourkansashome.com, follow the links to send us an email. I'd be more than happy to get some of that information to you once we know a little bit more about the desired height and tread design you're looking for, as well as how tall off the ground this will be as well. Decking boards are laid next with the bark side up, with both ends centered over a joist. Stagger the joints of side-by-side decking boards so they don't line up. Notch the boards around posts or other obstructions, leaving, you know, almost no space between the decking boards. Plan for a little bit of shrinkage in that. I've seen people say to leave a quarter of an inch on the decking boards, but I disagree with that concept. Put them pretty darn close together. You will have some contraction as those boards shrink just a little bit in the weather. Fasten the deck boards at each joist. Use two fasteners per support point for decking up to 6 inches wide, or three for wider boards. Deck screws are generally better than nails, but no matter what you use, it should be hot-dipped galvanized, aluminum, or stainless steel. If you use nails, blunt the points by tapping them with your hammer to avoid splitting the deck. And let the decking run over the edge of the structure and then saw the ends off after the boards are laid. That'll give you a nice smooth finish, especially if you plan to put a decorative exterior joist over the butt edge of the decking boards. That will help that to give you a nice clean and concise look just prior to your railings, which happen to be next. Secure the railing posts at each corner of the deck and on each side of the stairs. Then secure the field posts spaced equally between the corners, but no farther apart than allowed by local building codes, which, going back to that, it's somewhere around 6 feet. Nail the sub-railings and cap the cap rail into place, and then add your balusters. So, some basic tools. What kind of tools are going to be needed to build a deck? That was the next question that we received on email just before the show today. You're going to need a level, a line level, a mason's line, some ready-mixed concrete, some gravel, a shovel, some sort of structural connectors, usually an adjustable wrench or a wrench set, a chalk line. You're going to need 8D and 16D galvanized box nails, lumber for the posts, the ledger, the beams, the joists, the railing material. Don't forget stain so that you can properly finish your project. The plumb bob is absolutely crucial to get everything leveled up correctly. You may need a wheelbarrow for mixing your concrete. Even if you buy ready-mixed concrete, you're going to want to mix that with some water. And, of course, the measuring tape and the different galvanized screws that we talked about, the rest of your decking material. You will need a framing square. And then for that finishing step, you'll need some brushes and thinner. Next thing you'll need is a camera. And you'll want to take pictures of this project as you put it together, because there's just not a lot more that's rewarding than spending weeks on a project like this. Because it's, especially if you're making a multi-level deck, you're going to be looking at several different sets of support systems. And this may take several weekends if you're doing this yourself. So you'll want to take some pictures along the way, before, during the project, and then after you have it all finished and it's stained. And send us those pictures. I told you I would give you the mailing address. It is Around Your Kansas Home, in care of Charlie Campbell, 1210 Southwest Executive Drive, Topeka, Kansas, 866-666-1515. Or if you prefer, you can send it to our P.O. Box, 1818, Topeka, Kansas, 66601. Again, that is Around Your Kansas Home. Attention, Charlie Campbell. We are once again out of time, and I have several of your emailed questions that we will touch next week, plus the ones that you start sending us right now. I am Charlie Campbell, hoping all of your construction and remodeling projects are successful ones. Take care. We'll see you next time right here on Around Your Kansas Home.
This has been Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell. Tune in every week for more tips to keep your Kansas home looking great. Around Your Kansas Home is a presentation of AM 580 WIBW and FM 104.9. Online, we're streaming on the TuneIn radio app and at WIBWNewsNow.com. Podcast available at AroundYourKansasHome.com.